So good evening, everyone. I want to begin this evening's talk just by reading the five remembrances. I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature of change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My deeds are my closest companions. I am the beneficiary of my deeds. My deeds are the ground on which I stand. Tonight we also read Shoji, Birth and Death, Ehei Dogen. This birth and death is the life of Buddha. If you try to exclude it, you will lose the life of Buddha. If you try to cling to it, trying to remain in it, you will also lose the life of Buddha. And what remains will be the mere form of Buddha. Only when you don't dislike birth and death or long for them do you enter Buddha's mind. Just set aside your body and mind. Forget about them and throw them into the house of Buddha. Then all is done by Buddha. When you follow this, you are free from birth and death and become a Buddha without effort or calculation. So these explorations of life and death, of change, of impermanence, it has been said that the most important central teaching of Buddhism is impermanence, is that everything changes. And therefore, nothing has any fixed identity or self. Our mind doesn't really see the world this way naturally because we grow up labeling things. I was realizing that as a child, when each season came, it seemed like an eternity was entering into the field of life, an eternity of spring, an eternity of summer. School ended as a young boy, and I would charge out from the school doors thinking, I'm free, as if it were just true forever. Now I'm still a high school teacher, and the summers seem to just tick by. It's midsummer now already. Hard to believe. The days go like lightning. It's interesting to read these reminders in our Buddhist tradition, like the five remembrances. A bit like existentialism, this reminder that we die. What is the purpose of such reminders? How are we to hold this awareness of impermanence? What does it mean to us as human beings? Well, of course, there's no single answer to that, because meaning is something that is formed in the mind. And mental formations come and go. So in one moment, I may feel quite depressed about all of this change and feel like, well, then what's the point? What's the point of anything? Anything I create will eventually just be destroyed. Anyone I love will eventually die. In fact, they have no fixed identity, so what is it that I love in the first place? This is quite a nihilistic reception of the five remembrances, and yet it happens from time to time, doesn't it? That we read these remembrances and they strike us like a dagger in the heart. Or they make us feel empty. Perhaps even make us grieve, bringing up lost loves, anticipating future losses. Well, that is one thing that happens, but it's not the only thing that happens. Sometimes we read through these remembrances and we feel so deeply inspired because we recognize that this moment, this very constellation is flowing, has no essence, and yet is like a dream. How can that be? And we find ourselves invited into an awareness of this, knowing that it is so ephemeral. Dogen talks about there being thousands of moments in the snapping of a finger. Millions of moments in the snap of a finger. And each moment is a manifestation of the universe that then just vanishes. And that next moment arises so quickly. It seems so continuous that reality seems like a thing. But actually, the leaves blossom on the trees, and then they wither and fall away and decay into the earth. And as we get older, it seems like that happens with each breath that we take. Constant fluidity and change. That is our life. I think I'm one thing, and shortly thereafter, I'm another. And so we grow old. And of course, there is one way to escape growing old. But if we're lucky, that doesn't happen. And we grow old. And sometimes we get sick and we are changed. We lose capacities that we have in some way either taken for granted or identified with. Sometimes these are significant losses. All of us have experienced this in one way or another, even if temporarily. When we're sick and we have the flu, we can't get off the couch. But sometimes these losses are more serious. Who are we? I was the one who could do this and that, and suddenly I'm not that person anymore. Can't run anymore. Can't do things that we used to do. Maybe even things that were deeply important to our sense of self. And then something new emerges, right? Some new opportunity out of the loss. Each thing lost transforms into something new. The decaying leaves into new life. It's not always easy to see this. But this birth and death is the life of Buddha. If you try to exclude it, you will lose the life of Buddha. If you try to cling to it, trying to remain in it, you will also lose the life of Buddha. If I try to exclude birth and death, change, flow, fluidity, I attach to things as they are in some way, then I form a conception in my mind that occludes my sensual experience of this very moment, grasping on to the way things were. If I try to exclude change, you lose the life of Buddha. If I try to cling to it, try to remain in it, you also lose the life of Buddha. When we exclude the way things are, we lose our life. When we cling to the way things are, we lose our life. So this idea of denying or attaching to the way things are, both lead us to lose touch with this fluid, evanescent moment, like a bubble in a stream. This practice is very demanding. Our habit minds are strong. We are so swept up into our worlds of ideas about how we are, how we were, how we should be, how the world is, how the world should be. So swept up into these thought formations that we don't even see them as thought formations. And in this getting swept up and lost in our thoughts, we lose our life. And this remarkable possibility, this invitation in our practice, not to exclude thoughts, but to open with them. They very naturally blossom, one shape-shifting into the next, when we don't attach to them and keep feeding them with belief and commitment. They just unfold naturally. And we are opened. We open the hand of thought. We open right through thought. We open right beyond thought into just this very moment. The breeze blowing into the room, sitting on the cushion, breathing, feeling our bodies. How do we set aside your body and mind, forget about them, throw them into the house of Buddha? By being fully embodied, sitting upright, noticing thoughts coming and going. And in this way, we are connected to all beings. We are opened beyond our ideas of our separate selves to the unfolding fluidity that is Buddha. When you follow this, you are free from birth and death and become a Buddha without effort and calculation. How am I free from birth and death? By living and dying fully in every moment. Coming and going. That which comes knows only coming. That which goes knows only going. When we are alive, we breathe. When we die, we die fully. and completely releasing that final exhale. Breath merging with the universe. Each breath, an entire life and death. To keep from falling, why hold on to the edge? Why hold on to anything? Clouds float freely, never knowing where the breezes will blow them. Thank you.